Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So the White Sox and Cubs both look to do the same thing today. Get a win, damn it.
Avoid the sweep.
Man, oh man. Get a win would be nice. Like Cap says, have a cup of coffee, go to the ballpark, get a victory. And that's what it would be nice for both sides. Marlins beat the Cubs 11-1 yesterday. The White Sox lose 7-3. Sox still have a 3.5 game lead, while the Cubs and Milwaukee Brewers are still tied for first in the National League Central. But we would get into some football because they had what they call a mandatory minicamp this week.
Does that word still mean what it should mean?
I'm not sure what Eddie Goldman's dictionary is like because he didn't show up.
Well, he's not the only one, though. I mean, that happens all over the place.
I don't care about everybody else.
Okay.
Just care about the
I'm
Bears
talking about
right
the integrity of the word mandatory.
Yeah. I think, you know, they have the other ones. I know players' associations trying to get everybody to, you know, do some things and make sure that the teams are doing what they're supposed to do and in line with the players' association and everything else like that. But everybody else was there. Allen Robinson was there. All the other Bears were there. Andy Dalton was there. Justin Fields was there. Everybody was there except, and most of the defense was there too. But you did not have Eddie Goldman there. And Matt Nagy was not very happy about it. He expected him to be there. Eddie Goldman, for those who don't remember, decided to sit out last year because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big guy. Definitely. I mean, actually a big guy in the middle of your line. So what do the Bears do? They go on and they bring a couple guys in. They brought a defensive lineman in named Mike Pinnell. He's a big guy that can clog up the middle. He played in Kansas City. So you know, maybe he can help out because that's what they need to do. I was reading some of the articles today in the Sun-Times. They had a great article with the three Bears beat reporters, Mark Potash, Jason Leisure, and also Patrick Finley, talking about the things the Bears need to do. And they've pretty much agreed on some of the things and talked about how important the pass rush is. The Bears have fallen so far in their pass rush ability from the last couple of years. They were really good the first year Khalil Mack was here. The last couple of years, they fell to 24th and 17th in the NFL at rushing the quarterback and getting sacks and things like that. So they need to improve, and it helps when you have that big guy in the middle. But one of the biggest things happened because when they drafted Justin Fields, Bears fans got excited. Everybody got excited. And but there was some things said during the week that Matt Nagy talked about that it doesn't appear that there's any way that Justin Fields could be the starting quarterback when the season starts. So they had a big Zoom press conference the other day, and the Waddle and Sylvie show, 2 to 6 every day, Monday through Friday, and Xander and I will be there on Thursday.
Yep.
Sylvie had a chance to ask Matt Nagy a question. He got involved in the Zoom conference call.
And did you hear how that happened? Because the last time they had a Zoom,
yeah,
Sylvie tried to ask a question, and you know how you virtually, I was laughing at this, yeah, you know how you virtually put your hand up?
Yeah.
The moderator kept putting his hand up.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know that.
And,
I just
and at the end, it was like, they were like, oh, did you want to ask a question?
Uh-huh.
So that's why he got the opportunity this time,
yeah,
is what I understand.
He did. So here's Sylvie getting a chance to ask Matt Nagy a question. We'll take your calls after this at 312-332-3776.
Hey, Coach, thanks for thank you for taking my question. Hope the family's well. I've got a follow-up question for you after this as well. Been wanting to know, did anyone in the organization ever promise Andy Dalton that he would be the starting quarterback on opening day of the regular season?
No, Mark. I'd say promises are, as we all know, promises can get pretty crazy. But what we told Andy is that he's our starter, and he knows that. And that's what Justin knows. That's what Nick knows. You know, the rest of our coaches, and we tell these guys knowing that there's got to be a start, right? So that's where we're at. And now they go ahead, and all three of them are going to be the best quarterback they can be. And then that gets into that plan, this plan that we keep talking about. And it takes a little bit of time. But to answer your first question, there was no promises. But we told him And I specifically told him, you're our starter, you know, so that's that. And now when you're in Andy's role, when you're in Justin's role, when you're in Nick's role, they know their roles. And now it's their job to be able to be the best quarterback they can be. But I'll just be very clear. That being said, does that mean that these guys aren't competing? Absolutely not. They're competing. Like, they want to be the best. And so, and they wouldn't want each other to not be any different. So, or to be any different. So, you know, that's the answer to that.
And based on that, we played your answer from Chris Collinsworth's podcast today, okay, where you said that Andy Dalton is the starter. So we wanted clarification whether or not that means that Justin Fields cannot win the job.
Whether it's clarification that he can't win it, yes, correct. Andy Dalton is our starter. And when we go through this process, there, like I said today, just calling a play in the huddle, and that gets to the instant gratification part that we all want, right? I understand that. Andy understands that. Justin understands it. Nick understands it. Our coaches understand that we all get excited about Justin Fields. You know, we'd all be lying if we said something different. But that said, we're excited about Andy Dalton too. And we know that if we stick to this plan that we have, that everything's going to be just fine. And that's where like these type of questions or being able to explain as we go, because let's face it, when you go through OTAs, when you go through training camp, you go through preseason, the only goal that we have is to put the best quarterback out there. And Andy Dalton is our starter. Justin's our number two and Nick's our number three. And we're going to play that out and make sure that they're all competing, you know, and that's as simple as that.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
No problem.
How's the family, Coach? Sorry.
Nick's our number. Who's number four, though?
They don't need a fourth one. They'll have one
in
camp, I'm sure.
They better not need a fourth one.
Yeah, they'll have one in camp. So what are your thoughts about, going to the rookie comes in, he goes to camp knowing that he can't be the starter. Now, he seems to be handling everything fine. Fields actually talked afterwards or after the workouts this week and saying he knows he's number two and he's dealing with it.
Well, no matter what place you're in, I feel like as a player, if you're confident in what you can do and, how fast you learn, like me personally, I tend to not make, a mistake more than one time. So once I've made that mistake, I learned from that mistake. And I mean, there's a 99.9% that same mistake will not happen again. So, I'm a quick learner, so I have full confidence in myself that, one play I'm going to rub it off and move on to the next play because, for myself, at least, that I can make that play easily. So, I just learned from, each and every mistake that I have in practice. And I know, there are going to be mistakes made. So I just take those mistakes and learn from them and not make them again.
And he's not a dumb guy, too, because he said he understands this whole plan.
I mean, if I don't believe in it, then it's not going to work out. So, I mean, my job is strictly to get better, be the best quarterback I can be and, help my team win. So that's what I'm going to do, whether it's starting, whether it's, sitting. I'm going to do whatever that's going to help us win. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's the only thing a rookie probably should say.
Yeah. Look, he's straight to the point. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
And he's just saying, look, I've got to be the best I can be.
Yeah.
And I love the line about, I'm going to make mistakes.
Yeah.
However, I will make each one once.
Yeah. That's basically, on this Father's Day, that's one of the things I think that my dad did hammer down to me is, listen, you can screw up once, but learn from your mistakes.
Absolutely.
And don't do it again.
And
I've tried to tell people in radio, since 88 when I was doing the first time I did any radio, and a producer would do something wrong and he would say, I'm so sorry. I said, that's okay. Just don't let it happen again.
Well, you have to learn. Yeah, it's not about making a mistake in whatever you have to do.
Yeah.
It is about learning from
right.
it. And if you keep making the same mistake,
there's a problem.
The problem.
Yeah.
There's no learning.
We all make mistakes. Some are more severe than others. So,
do we want to talk about any of those?
No, I didn't make any. That's why I say other people have made a lot.
Right.
I'm sure Jim and Aurora hasn't made any mistakes.
No.
What's up, Jim?
Oh,
hey,
no.
Jim.
No, my dad. Yeah, my dad would always say, I do good work. Too bad I don't do more of it.
That's a good one.
I like that. That's a good line. That's a good dad line.
Yeah. So, what's up, Jim?
anyhow, you know, you guys are talking about the mandatory training mini camps and things like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to disagree, Fred, with you on this and take the I'm old school. That's what training camp and spring training is all about. The season's long enough for these guys. They're always extending the season. They work hard. The training camps are long. That's something that gets up my can about these mini camps. We don't need them. The players don't need them.
But see, I understand. I agree with. I understand what you're saying. But Eddie Goldman wasn't here last year. He took the year off because of COVID. It would be nice if he actually came and got a chance to meet the defensive coordinator and, you know, was there and sitting in meeting rooms and all that kind of stuff.
And we have no idea why he didn't show.
Well, it just says here that he was Goldman was taking a rare unexcused absence from Halas Hall. And Nagy expects him to be at training camp next month. So we'll see.
Okay.
So that's the thing that bothers me, Jim. He wasn't around last year. Wasn't around for his teammates. And now would be a good time to actually show up. And instead of just coming in the first time when practices do begin next month.
Right. But aside from that, I get this whole thing. And this mini camp, is this really for, you know, more for just appearances?
No.
Have the press in, you know.
No. They're
getting a little workout, but
they're trying to figure out how they're going to work the rookies in with the rest of the guys and things like that. So,
that's what you got a 6-week training camp for.
Yeah, but you know, Jim, they don't work like they used to.
Nothing works like it used to.
Yeah,
that's what Steve and Dan and Otis always
that's
talk
right.
about.
Absolutely,
always,
absolutely. Yep. Jim, appreciate the call. Thanks.
Thank you. Yeah, have a great day, guys.
Yep, you too. So, yeah, here's some of the stuff from the Tribune today, because Dan Weider, they were talking about a couple of different things looking back at the Bears' 3 days in camp.
Mm-hmm.
He said Bears rookies have appreciated the opportunity to grow in the field. Danny Trevathan spoke to the value of nose tackle Eddie Goldman. Listen to this. He says, when Goldman's in the middle of the defensive line, often taking up a double-team block, at times it allows Trevathan to flow unimpeded to the ball carrier. That's when things are clicking for the Bears up front. Goldman does the dirty work, and it often allows a crowd of defenders to arrive at the ball. Neither veteran was spotted at the OTAs, but Trevathan was present for minicamp, with Goldman taking a rare unexcused absence. What Trevathan said is Eddie Goldman is a silent killer, man. He's one of those guys that does his job, doesn't talk too much, but he works his tail off. Okay. Unfortunately, we didn't have him last year. It's going to be great to have him this year. I know he's going to be here. He's been working his tail off. He looks totally different. I've been communicating with him as much as possible. He's a tough guy to get in contact with, but he loves us. He loves the Bears organization. He loves the defense. So he's going to come here ready to work. He'd better come ready to work.
I would hope so.
Yeah, that would be really nice because they are counting on him.
It'd be interesting to find out why he didn't show up.
Yeah.
But maybe it's just water under the bridge. We just move forward.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it when Matt Nagy talked about it the other day. Your thoughts, 312-332-3776. Justin Fields also talked about learning from Andy Dalton. Do you think that's a possibility? 312-332-3776. Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Instagram at ESPN underscore Chicago. Now, back to more Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
So, the Bears signed a couple of guys, as I mentioned. They were actually at minicamp, an offensive lineman, Tyrone Wheatley Jr., on Father's Day, another guy. Tyrone Wheatley played in the NFL. Also a guy named a defensive lineman, Mike Pennell, played with Kansas City. He's a guy in the middle of the field, so that would be nice. See if they can get some guys, because the season will be here before you know it. They will get into camp in July and after these couple days. So looking forward to that. And they're actually going to have some fans in training camp. They'll allow them to come in, which will be nice, because Bourbonnais was great. I don't know if people did you ever go to Bourbonnais?
I did not.
When they had training camp. It was awesome. You were able to go there. There were fields everywhere. They were signing autographs. You could watch practice, see everything. And then they moved it up to their own facility because they've put up a lot of money into Halas Hall.
Yeah,
and,
might as well.
Yeah, and they want to have them up there. So that's, you know.
But it's a different experience up there.
Yeah, and they're going to have some fans, but it's very limited. It's not going to be, like, open where you'd just be able to come on in. So Fields, Justin Fields, the Bears' rookie quarterback, who basically Matt Nagy told everybody that he will not have a chance to be the starter. He talked about actually trying to learn something from Andy Dalton.
I mean, yeah, I've learned a lot of things. I couldn't even name off a few things, but, I mean, he's talked to me a lot. I actually went to dinner with him and his wife, so we talked a lot there, and kind of just his background and stuff like that, their story. But, I mean, Andy and Nick, they've been awesome to me, probably bigger than you guys even know. I mean, Andy's completely taken me under his wing. Any question that I have for him, he's going to answer. And then even when I'm throwing, I think there was one day out after OTAs, I was throwing extra after practice, and he stayed out there specifically just to, you know, see maybe what I was doing wrong, and he was just trying to help me out. So, I mean, he's been a huge help for sure.
There's something different if you're a backup, if you're a quarterback and they draft a backup and you don't know anything about it. But for Andy Dalton, who comes in here and he's been on a couple teams now, Cincinnati and Dallas and things like that. Mm-hmm. There's no downside for him. They're paying him. If he's a starter, fine. If he's not a starter, he's still getting
guaranteed.
Paid. So just, you know, help the young guy along. A lot of times, veteran quarterbacks don't want to help the young guy because they might take their job. He's getting paid. He knows where he's at. He's on a short deal, and he'll be here.
He knows his role.
Yeah. So if he actually plays the role well, he may stick around as being a backup once Justin Fields takes over, whatever.
A football career is not forever.
No.
And at some point you have to realize that you may be entrusted with bringing up the next, you know, the next one in your position.
Yeah.
And your best to help out.
Yeah, and that'll happen. So he's been in the league since 2011. So he played from 11 to 19 with the Bengals, 2020 with the Cowboys, and now with the Bears. So,
and he got a nice bump up for being a teacher.
Yeah. So that's not bad. You know, you're not going to play the game forever. Some quarterbacks do. And then people call him the GOAT because they played so many games. And that's a whole other story for me. Let's go to Rashard. Rashard, what's happening today?
Hey there.
Hey, how you doing today?
Doing well. What's good up?
I just wanted to call and talk about briefly about the Eddie Goldman. I just think that it's important that he come to any, you know, team activity that he can, since he missed so much time last year, just to, you know, get team cohesion. And I just feel like there's always somebody after your job, so just keep that job security.
Yeah, you would think so. Rashard, you're from the Bradley area. Is that Bradley Bourbonnais, near Bourbonnais? So did you ever go?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, did you go to any of the practices that were down there when you were growing up?
I kind of watched from a distance, but I never really been in.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because they were right down there. It was
a big deal when that happened in that area.
Yeah, it was actually fun going down there. I agree with you, Rashard. Thanks a lot for the call.
Yeah, thanks.
And it was very cool because you were able to go there. And then some of the media people and even the fans, you'd go to a bar at night and some of the players would be sitting there.
Yep.
You know,
and I knew a lot of people that were involved in coverage down there over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a big deal.
Now, Rashard was our caller just now, and I actually had – he called yesterday, and I wanted to cut this up because it's actually perfect for Father's Day. Because one of the Father's Day things we were talking about was how your dad influenced your love for sports.
Mm-hmm.
And Rashard called yesterday, and let's give it a listen because this was very cool. Every once in a while you get a call like this, and I thought this was very neat. This was yesterday, Rashard calling the show when I was out with Brian Handley. And it's not playing. Will it play on your side? Let's go on. Let's go on. Rashard, what's happening today?
Oh, hello. How you doing?
Doing well.
I just wanted to say I love the radio show. You know, in my younger days, I used to listen to a lot of the WGCI on Power 92, and then my pops used to listen to this, and it was so boring. But now that I'm grown, I really understand like why you used to like listening to it.
Sure.
But went to Eastern Illinois, and I felt like the Bears should move to EIU Stadium. It'd be a lot easier than Soldier Field.
Hey, Ryan Pace I'm knows the joking. Way.
Yeah, Pace knows the way. He was down there. Yurko would like it. Yurko played down there. And my girlfriend, my girlfriend Linda, she went to school there.
I know a lot of people went down there. A couple brothers and a sister went down there.
Yeah. They loved that place.
Small town, easy to get around. Charleston. A lot simpler than Soldier Field. And then I just want to say one more thing, and I'm going to let you go. I just think it's like, you know, really, I think it's really bogus that Justin Fields, that Andy Dalton is pretty much promised the job, and Justin Fields doesn't have a chance to, like, earn the starting job. And, you know, like I said, teams like the Cardinals and with Kyler Murray and, you know, like Deshaun Watson, they actually gave him a chance to get out there. And then if he never get that experience, you know, we'll never know what he'll fully do.
Yeah, so his point at the end was very good, because a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of Bears fans, really would like to see Justin Fields have the opportunity to start. But I thought what he said originally is, you know, he used to listen to, his dad would listen to sports talk radio, and it was like, man, that stuff's boring.
And then you get older,
yeah,
and you turn into your dad.
Yeah, and you realize
that's the way it happens.
You realize that if you know, sometimes you can't always have your friends around to argue with or disagree with, so you disagree with the people on the radio.
This is what we're here for. Yeah. This is the service we provide.
Disagreeable
argue
radio.
With us, right. Please.
Yeah, argue with us as much as you like. So that was very cool, and I thought it kind of, when I grew up, and I grew up, and it was like, you know, Marconi had just invented radio, and then I would listen to a guy named Pat Sheridan. And Pat Sheridan used to do sports talk on 1000 WCFL back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
He would do his show during the evenings. Now, I can't remember if it was every night, Monday through Friday, or just a couple nights during the week. But I would listen while my dad and I were driving around. And he would say something. And every once in a while, I'd go, well, that's not right. They played them yesterday. They played a different team tonight. He'd have a mistake on the schedule or something. And my dad says, well, people make mistakes once in a while. So as I got older, Pat Sheridan actually moved to Milwaukee, I want to say, and he did sports radio up there for a long, long time. But I kind of knew that I had something I'd like to do. So there's nothing that aggravates me more than when I get facts wrong, because it reminds me of the guys that did it.
We don't want to do that.
No.
I mean, just...
We're also not scripted.
I think last week,
yeah,
like I said something like we're avoiding the sweep or something like that. I walked out of here
right,
going, what the hell?
Yeah. I know. It'll stick with you a whole week and you're not on the air again. Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we feel like we have to talk to make up for it, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah. And it's
funny. Get a whole bunch of stuff right to make up for the one wrong.
I was listening the other day, and I can't remember who said it, but there are a lot of sports talk shows, believe it or not, they script the entire show. You know, Tyler may know this. Jim Rome scripts his whole show. It's written. He's like, we're reading it word for word.
Did not know that. And that's weird because it's a TV show, too. So he's literally off a teleprompter.
And you know the trick?
Now, the teleprompter, I know the radio show was. The TV show, I'm not sure, but I know the radio show was. He had writers. So his writers would write the show for him.
Well, because it was syndicated.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So it would have been both.
There are other people that were here in Chicago that I know used to script their whole show. Because my wife would say, I heard you stumble on a few words. I said, hold on a second. I said, I'm talking off the top of my head for 3.5, 4 hours.
Right.
I said, I'm not reading something out of
script. It's like in a conversation on the street.
Exactly.
You notice if somebody bumbles? No. I mean, that's conversation like I'm doing right now.
Right.
Thing is, if you have everything scripted,
yeah,
can you read it like you sound like you're talking, not reading?
Which
that's
is the
a
hardest,
whole different issue.
Which is like the hardest thing that I ever had to try to learn. Because
if you
a lot
ever
of times,
read a script and you're trying to make it sound like you're just conversing.
Broadcasters would tell you, one of the guys in the business said, he said, I can tell you're reading something. He said, you'll be better when you read something and I can't tell if you're reading it or not.
That's right.
And I said, that's very difficult. He goes, yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
And you you get some people that do that. But for the most part, when you listen here to us on ESPN 1000, none of us are working off a script other than for commercials.
If somebody was, I'd be awfully surprised.
Well, it's impossible when you're taking phone calls and answering questions
right,
and things
right.
like that.
And you're switching gears.
Yeah.
And topics and such.
Yeah, it's almost impossible to do that. Let's grab one more call before we take a break. Let's go to Old Town and George. George, what's happening today?
Hey, George.
Hey, gentlemen, Xander, Fred. You know what? I got a follow-up to Sylvie's question. You know, New Orleans uses Taysom as a situational guy. That's not the case this year. But, you know, Fields has so many more capabilities on the option. The run option, situationally. If you're going to go against teams like L.A., is there any possibility that he could work his way up into game one as a situational thing and be part of the Bears, you know, winning team?
Would you want to see that?
I think I would, as long as he's capable and can call the plays and have the right tone and everything else, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just too competitive. The Bears' schedule is so tough, you're going to need to use all of the draft points of what they've done. And they did a good job. I'll hand it to them on that. But I want to win.
Yeah. The only thing, and I know you, and I say this all the time, because I say, you know what, if your safety is your best kick returner, put him back there. But if Justin Fields came in just to run a play or two and he got hurt.
And see, that's the chance I don't want to take.
Yeah. But it's a tough one. And George, you're exactly right. I mean, I think that I thought about that earlier today because he'd be perfect to come in. He's got the arm, so he can still throw the ball. You're not going to run every time. Like Taysom Hill, for the most part, ran all the time for New Orleans. When he did throw the ball, it was a huge surprise. But, Fields can do both. So there is an opportunity to do that, I think.
It's the threat of the run, too. He doesn't have to run it. Just knowing that you got a guy 4-4 out in the flank, they have to come up, he can pass it. You know, it's football. That's why he's here.
Yeah.
You've got to play.
Yeah, and I like to, George, appreciate the call. I really like what he said, and obviously it's a cliche. He's here to do whatever he can do to help the team win.
Mm-hmm.
It would be nice if Nagy and all of the brain trust that puts together the Bears' offense uses him to help the Bears.
But don't you think at this point, because it has been so matter-of-factly stated that he will not start, that even if he could, he won't, just on principle? Not anytime soon. I call 3 or 4 games in.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a couple, 2-3 games before.
He said there's no way he starts. I think Nagy's trying to stick to that.
No way he starts game one.
Yeah, I don't think his idea would be not to start him all year long.
Hmm.
Your thoughts, 312-332-3776. Fred and Xander on ESPN 1000.
Fred and Xander
on ESPN 1000. Also available on demand on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
So the White Sox and Cubs both getting ready to play. We'll get to some of them as they're both trying to stop being swept.
Stop the sweep. Yeah.
The Miami Marlins. Yeah.
You think they'll get the game in?
I don't know.
We see that on the radar. I saw that we're going to have a little strong storms maybe in the Chicago area about 2 p.m.
Yeah, and it might stop at 3 and then
come
back at 4.
Okay.
So we'll see. Let's go on out to Elgin. Elliot, what's going on today?
Hey there.
Hey, guys. Good show.
Thank you.
I could see the idea of choosing Justin Fields initially as a catch-it-type player, but that makes no sense. They drafted him to be a starting quarterback. They drafted him to be the next Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. You're gonna put him in to be a Taysom Hill type player to get a first down every once in a while? But no, he's a starting quarterback, and train him to be a starting quarterback. Thanks.
Okay, I appreciate it. Yeah, I would just be concerned again about him getting hurt, and that's unlike me. But the quarterback's a different position than a safety or a cornerback.
Mm-hmm.
There were times Eddie Jackson when he was at Alabama was a pretty damn good punt returner, if I'm not mistaken. But he doesn't really do it here for the most part because they like him as their safety.
Right.
If he keeps playing like crap at safety, then they might make him a punt returner again. But sorry, Eddie, you just got to make some tackles. Wrap up. You get those two arms. Use them to wrap up a guy here and there.
Yep.
So we'll have to wait and see. But I just think if you didn't use Justin Fields as a starter and you used him on gadget plays and he ran a gadget play and got hurt, oof.
Saw it with Mitch in the game against the Saints last year.
Yes. Right. I mean, you just can't go about doing that. And it's, Taysom Hill is a different kind of guy. And I know that they've done it before at other teams, but I would rather not. I agree with Elliot. I would rather just bring him in. And if you're going to have him play. If he's not going to have, you want to do that, have him play a series of downs. Have him come in and play the first series of downs in the second half or something like that.
I would rather see that.
Right. Say you're receiving the kick to start the second half, and you say, okay, we're going to put you in, and here's the set of plays we want you to run.
Yep.
And we know where we're going to go. We're going to you know, cater and figure it all out and see how it does. That's not a bad way of doing it. I'll be interested to see how they use him, if they use him, in the preseason games, because he hates using preseason guys, you know, guys in preseason.
Right.
He doesn't like using starters. So is he going to use, you know, is Justin Fields going to get most of the snaps in the preseason? I would hope so.
Well,
so he can do it, show what he can do.
Absolutely.
Because you can't worry about him getting hurt in the preseason. It is football. Like I said, I mean, it's football.
Well, if you're really worried about hurting people, then you
don't play the game.
Don't play.
Yeah, don't play the game. I mean, if you're worried guy might get hurt, forget it. He may get injured. We'll draft him, but he's going to sit there and not play.
You know, going back to the Sylvie question, I read it as Nagy saying he cannot win the starting job in training camp.
I think he meant the whole, no, he can't win the, right, he can't win the starting job.
But see, I still think game three, game four, we're going to start seeing him more.
I don't know.
You're thinking that it may be a whole year.
Yeah.
I think we're not going to see him.
I think he'd like to have him sit the whole year because he keeps using the example of Alex Smith and Patrick Mahomes. The problem was Alex Smith had an MVP season that year, right?
Yeah, he couldn't have benched him. Yeah, he was having, it was probably the best season of his career.
Yeah.
I don't think Andy Dalton's going to have that.
No, I was going to say.
So that
would be a great problem to have.
It's going to completely change the thought process and the strategy behind whether you want to get in Fields in week three, week two, or week 15, whenever it ends up being. It's going to be a completely different process than Mahomes, unless Andy Dalton plays like Alex Smith did that year, which I don't envision happening.
Well, we heard, you know, the Bears wanted Trubisky to sit and learn under Mike Glennon, but when Glennon
and
was
we
so
saw,
bad.
We saw what happened
yeah,
there.
Yeah, when and Glennon was so bad, he had to come in week five. So
I still think that hurt Trubisky.
It didn't help. I don't think he was ready. I don't know that he would have been any more ready if he waited. We'll never know. Would he have been able to read defenses if he would have sat and tried to learn?
Yeah,
I don't
probably
know.
Not.
Let's go to Gage Park and Oscar. You're on ESPN 1000. Hello, Oscar.
Hello.
Guys, long time listener, first time caller.
Oh, nice to hear from you. What's up?
A real quick question. I was just wondering, would you guys take it as, you know, maybe he's not good enough to start to be a starting quarterback? Should we worry about that?
I don't, you know, Oscar, I wouldn't think he's good enough right now to start because I still think, you know, from college to pros, there's still things you have to learn. He's going to have to learn the system and things like that. But I would think after a training camp and OTAs and everything else like that, there have been other guys that, you know, were thrown in there early. You know, your Troy Aikmans, your, you know, Peyton Mannings and things like that. And they went in there and took their lumps and learned that way. But I don't think the Bears want to do that with Fields. So I think they drafted him because there were many people that thought he was the second best quarterback. And some people even thought the first in the draft altogether. So getting him where they did, they're very happy about it. So I know they think he can play.
And they're going to be very careful with him.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go White Sox, man. We need this win today, man. You guys have a great day.
That would be nice, Oscar.
Yeah, thanks,
that would be really
Oscar.
Nice. We got the pregame show beginning at 12:30. Dallas Keuchel going for the White Sox. Lance Lynn had
hopefully that's going to be a spark that we need. Dallas taking on his whole team?
Yeah, I don't know. They had him on TV yesterday. And if you've not heard me say this before, one of the dumbest things in all of broadcasting, in my opinion.
During the game interview?
Yeah. They're talking to Dallas Keuchel. And, you know,
and while the action is happening.
And I don't blame the announcers. I don't blame the announcers because it's a production thing. It's
a director
thing.
They have people telling them what the next move is. But, yes, it's so annoying they're talking, and then all of a sudden they have to call,
a
double.
Yeah.
Right? And they have to peel away from that and then go back to that. But, yeah, Dallas seemed to be. You know, you talked about how it's always going to be his family and everything.
Yeah. Houston will always be home.
Right.
You know what? You could have done that recording the interview before the game and just dropped it in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know what else drove me nuts about that Fox broadcast? Every one of them. And I know that I'm being super picky here. But if you listen to the ambiance, the crowd, it sounds like there's a microphone in a tube recording the ambience of the crowd. It's very weird. It sounds there's something about the ambiance, and it's only on Fox.
Huh.
Every time I watch it, listen to the ambiance of the crowd. When they're not talking, you can hear it. It sounds very
tinny.
Tinny.
Yeah.
And and doing this for a living, it's like, you got to get that stuff straight.
Yeah.
You got to, you have to make it sound perfect.
Well, on some of them, I would think that they may have been using canned sound to start with. Okay. Not that it would sound like it came from a can.
But this literally sounds like it's being run through a can or a big pipe.
Because it shouldn't, because they had a big crowd.
They had real people there.
Right.
There's no cardboard cutouts anymore.
No. And maybe it's because the roof was on. I don't know. So the roof is closed. Then they did say that
it's every Fox game.
They were happy the roof was closed because it was damn hot down there. Right. I would think Houston's hot. I've been to Houston before. It's the hottest place in the world.
Houston is warm.
It's very, very warm. Yeah, Houston's
and they had place. And they had Straw mic'd up.
Yeah,
during that, and he was asking people, "Is it hot in here?" It's like, wait a minute, it's the air conditioning. The roof is closed.
Right.
What are you complaining
that
about?
That I don't mind. I don't mind miking a guy up because it doesn't interrupt the flow of play.
Not only right,
I like that.
And they actually play that back, not during the action.
Right.
And if you've got somebody mic'd up that's got a bit of a sense of humor, they're playing it up. Yeah. There's a little entertainment value. I know you're not always good with entertainment, but, you know, that would help.
Well, you didn't, you know, remember during the spring training game when they had Rizzo and Bryant?
Yes.
And they were great because they were going back. It's spring training. And, you know, I know that Sylvie was a big fan of saying, listen, baseball wants to bring more people in. You should mic up the outfielders for the game anyway. But that's fine. You want to mic them up to play it later? Cool.
Right.
Don't mic them up to play it live because they were doing
and
it live.
And we've seen that.
Training. Yeah, they tried.
I did not like that.
The guys play left field and say, hold on.
Hold.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not good. You're going to.
Then you're going to have to bleep them out because, look, if I'm in center field and one's hit over my head, I might swear as I'm running.
Well, a couple of guys did on some of those things, and then they apologized. Well, you know what? If you didn't do it and play it live, you could beep it out yourself.
Right.
But you got this big thing that you want to play it live as you go along. 312-332-3776. We'll talk football if you want to continue or some Sox and Cubs stuff. Because what do you do with these two baseball teams going forward? The Sox and the Cubs, both in first place. But they're struggling a bit. And I did mention how it appeared that Leury García was injured. And apparently in the pregame press conference,
he's resting.
Tony La Russa said some things about it. We'll talk about that when we come back. It's Fred and Xander. Jump in. 312-332-3776 here on ESPN 1000. So I was talking last night. I wrote it down while I was watching the Sox game. Second inning, White Sox get runners to second and third. At the time they are losing, let's see here. At the time they were losing only 1-0 last night. So in the second inning, second and third, and Leury García's up. Three of the ugliest swings you'll ever see.
Yeah.
We had one of the callers earlier, and just brutal. And our buddy Jim Lexa, good job. He saw this tweeted out by Daryl Vanskowen from the Sun-Times. I think it's the Sun-Times. It says, Leury García could play, and quotes from Tony La Russa, but he's got some soreness, and we have healthy bodies to go out there, so it's best not to push him because he would get today off, and then, as I mentioned, the Sox have tomorrow off.
Right.
So he is not playing. He's not in the starting lineup today. Lamb is out there, and then one of the highlights, I guess, or whatever, the points you want to bring up is that Yermín Mercedes is still in the lineup, but he's hitting eighth. So Brian Goodwin, the left-handed hitter who's actually done pretty well since he's come up for the White Sox, is hitting cleanup. You could have listed 600-some players, and Brian Goodwin's name would not have been listed as a possible cleanup hitter for your Chicago White Sox. And
that's where we are right now.
That's
Fred.
How many injuries his team has taken on. So what would you do? As you're a Sox fan, you're a Cub fan. What do you do? Both teams are in first place right now. But Moncada with an error, a big error the other day. The Sox defense made errors and mistakes in the Thursday game with Dylan Cease pitching. They made them last night to start the game.
Don't they have the most errors in all of Major League Baseball?
Yep. I wrote that down.
That nobody wants?
I wrote that down because Adam Amin on the broadcast yesterday on Fox, after the Moncada error, he says the Sox are the most errors in baseball. And also the White Sox have allowed the second most stolen bases in baseball. And yesterday, I know they stole a few. Let's see.
Straw
stole one. Yeah.
He's
I thought he stole
dude.
More than one. Yeah. Oh, he had another one that would have been stolen, but they swung at the ball And, yeah, he just got to second base, and it was he stayed there. It was a ground ball, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he's very fast. And, yeah, they've got some young guys playing on that team, too. 312-332-3776. What are you going to do with these guys? Because with the starting pitching, it's been getting the White Sox through. And then last night they needed some runs and couldn't get any. They got three runs. Cubs not scoring at all. The last six games, the only way they score a run is by via the home run. And in those last six games, they're 1-5. So what do you do? I mean, about a week ago after the win over the Cardinals, everyone said, you got to add to this team. This team needs more players. They need a starting pitcher.
How quickly things can change.
There's no doubt they need a starting pitcher because Jake Arrieta was bad. And Zach Davies, I know a caller earlier in the show was getting on Zach Davies for only throwing 88 miles an hour, 89 miles an hour. Listen, Zach Davies was pitching very, very well up until his last outing. Davies was pitching great. As a matter of fact, he had his ERA was good. He wasn't giving up many runs. And then he got lit up for eight runs the other day.
Well, it's easy to jump on it, right, when things aren't going well?
Yeah, well, there's a line in Bachman Turner Overdrive song, BTO.
Yes.
And you're only as good as your last record. I'm sure they're not the only group to put that in the song, but that's also probably the thing they hear coming up from all the record companies.
Yep.
Listen, you're only as good as your last record.
Don't tell us about that debut, right. You know, 10 years ago.
Yeah. And it's the same thing for starting pitchers. You're only as good as your last outing.
Absolutely.
You know, you may be a good pitcher, but you sucked last time. So, you know, when Zach Davies goes to the hill next time, probably against the Dodgers, he's got to do a better job because they'll say the same thing. Okay, you were good, but you've failed. Now Hendricks, who had a miserable April, is pitching really, really well now.
Mm-hmm.
He's had seven straight quality starts. He's gone six innings in nine of his last 11. He's 7-0 in his last seven starts with a .254 in run average. And the Cubs get a pitcher back. And he was pitching really well until he got hurt. Adbert Alzolay is coming back, and he's going to pitch Monday.
That's going to help. Can you get a pitcher of worth to help the Cubs but not give up too much? I don't know if that could happen. Because, you know, again, they're at this point where are they buyers or they're sellers? And if you're selling, you got to be all in.
Yeah.
If you're buying, you have to be all in, because if you just kind of buy, you're not really doing much.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And that's the point. Jed Hoyer talked a little bit about this. He was on with Waddle and Sylvie the other day. So we'll hear from some of the Jed Hoyer cuts, because it's changed a little bit, I'm sure, for Jed Hoyer. Before the season started, you kind of figured that the Cubs were a team that was looking to rebuild again.
Well, the Darvish trade.
Yeah, the Darvish trade made everybody think, okay, if you're getting rid of your best pitcher, then what's going on?
What does that really mean?
Sylvie asked Hoyer the other day, he said, do you regret trading Yu Darvish right now? Right. And, of course, he said no, but...
Yeah, what is he going to say?
Yeah, I mean, what do you need right now? Starting pitching. It would have been nice if you didn't get rid of your stud pitcher. Who actually, after struggling for a little bit, figured it out in the second half of the season last year, even though the second half of the season was only 30 games last year with a 60-game season. So 312-332-3776. What do you do with the two baseball teams? White Sox fans, are you just waiting for them to get healthy? Are they going to be okay when Jimenez and Robert and Eaton and all these guys come back? Or are you concerned? I guess the division they're in kind of helps that. 312-332-3776. And Cub fans, you may have thought about being a buyer recently, but the schedule that's coming up for the Cubs is a tough one. And maybe after these next 12 games, after today, you're going to say, listen, sell it off. Let's rebuild. We need more guys, because you don't have Nico Hoerner right now. You don't have some of the other guys that were helping earlier in the year. You have injuries. Hoerner hopefully can come back soon. But what are your thoughts going forward? You've got some time. You got, let's see here. You got a little more than a month before the trading deadline. So what do you want to do with your teams going forward? 312-332-3776. We'll get to your calls, talk more baseball as we got White Sox baseball at 12:30 with the pregame show as they get ready to try to avoid the sweep against Houston right here on ESPN 1000. going towards the action. Jackson started blocking the dugout. Because he has to catch the catch. Ball. Back. And is out. It's a pick. And fair return. Well, Jefferson taking it off. So it doesn't matter. And see this. Give him a pass. Because of the leading for your left field check. You've got Isaac and I going to play the outfield right now. I think he's in today.
In the dark.
Yeah.
What do you think of
it? I know. And look, I was talking about yesterday. And yesterday, we were just running. I was all yesterday. I can't really see this. I see the people. I didn't think it was 5
I had with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to put something here. asked him, we'll play, I'll play inside TX or not. So it's, he said, it's the Del Toro switch, John.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I talked about that, but in general, you watch first, you know, we not want to say anything about, you know, about our issue with so many things if we're not competing. At the moment, when we have trade and get us players there, I think competing are, you know, the goal is to win, and if you're doing an acquisition, you know, at the deadline, the goal is to division to playoff, and obviously, you know, in the tournament chance World Series, so I think certainly we were all about value. Expect us to continue to play on and to be on the side. As opposed to that, then the call to win.
I'm playing when he talked. I played second. But he got to him. They struggled against the Mets. They came here and they struggled against Miami Marlins. The first games was about by a count of 1-3. The last two games, they had just three yesterday. I wonder if they just any of the Cub fans who won't be back now because in the first place, you want to ask if they can win. The organization, they all the same. Make stuff. You're saying how you make
imagine off the house. How many teams motivate?
Right,
not so much.
Yeah, always say the right thing. You know, for the old it's an extra change, having extra crowds, the crowd in, especially now that you can be 100% listening. That partnership,
but the being north side of the button got so much have to that point. Jed's trying to win the series, but realistically,
that's all we've been doing. I know it. Trying to push the world series. The thing is, that could Chris Bryant and it looks like we'll probably stick around. Still need more club a few years, despite the fact the first place, right?
Yes. Yeah. And in the cross losing without anything, you're taking a swing.
Yeah. Of course, we had to the extent.
Obviously, if we have discussions with Chris about it, but decisions. You can't push them. I think that's not scale and making decisions, but allowing you to do it in a way.
See, that's interesting, too. Well, the biggest question was, it's just to say, I'm going to move you, Dart, Andrew Caratini, and bring just senior this one highest price for the phrase. Always gets it. You need to get down. Say, need a guy.
Answer.
Yeah, you think you do.
Phil took off.
Well,
he was part of it.
Yeah, that he could have been right. He's going 3-3-3-7. And the question is, what do with these teams? The Bulls play now. Trying to switch this fight. They are the 1,000.
Chicago home for Sun at ESPN. You're going to Fred Banner.
This is Chicago's for sports. ESPN 1,000.
That they're going
to also have a day. Can't not be starting to
this is all about sentences and stuff like that.
Sticky.
Right. We've Tyler now who is ball accent heard it a little bit and heard some other play. There was a thing yesterday from the Atlanta Braves team guy. And it was a great play, but 4 minutes long. And it helps the explain why this is terrible to it because he shows sometimes balls get rough. They get rubbed differently. You get one that's got like the mud and one that's the chat. And sometimes you get on the in their turn and they feel right. And you can see the whole thing and all that stuff. So beginning Monday, H comes with pick performances. And you've picked with the action of a pitcher. Our closers into the game to be inspected before entering him. Okay? Pitchers expect to be getting handled after they out of the game. Just their suspicious behavior during the game. And then come play with the right inspector. And not during that. Usually umpire check the glove. And belt expect until elsewhere. They'll have to other uniform. Closers will expect for the pitch in order to avoid contamination. Players that save in the games and all off. This is from Jesse ESPN. Said if a player is for him, he had just been to spend days. Players were in front of the deals at a conference call. Which team is with
me? Is with the team you know, from the
yeah, yeah.
Right? And it screws up rotation.
At least one earth, proud to.
So, do you think that's
well, definitely be. If you're
you're suspended. Well, but you get into this with the union.
Yeah.
They probably, no, I am. It's probably why they fast tracks. Able to track.
That seems the thing that the pitcher is most about is they've changed their team in the middle of the season. The month of June, this is Jesse's up. The month of June has been always seen the strike and the rates. I'll produce the highest thing here on base percentage and OPS. So far, remains to see if that strike down related or includes warmer weather. So let's see. What the White certainly had higher average base percentage.
Yes,
no. So it has helped. I don't know what that problem is.
As soon as talk to this, I would imagine pitchers have started making a jump, maybe on some innings.
Yeah.
The bullpen, sure. You know, they can do that without.
Yeah.
I do agree this is ridiculous in the middle of the season. However,
yeah. Exactly.
You should be ready to
yeah.
just stop at it. You're used to eating, but it's fair.
Yeah, you see the seasons you're not supposed to be using. They give you a rosin bag, and if you want to tack it, stick in this rosin bag. If you've ever felt a rosin bag, it's very key.
That enough. I don't. Yeah. I've never talked to a teacher about why that's enough.
You get a chance if you're on your goat out. Atlanta Braves podcast. I think Brian Jordan, Peter. Moore, I don't know who the answer was. You see, Tyler.
I saw the. You know, I'm not sure who the. You
know who the guy is. But
explanation.
Peter's great. He had a bag. He was showing exactly what happens. As we don't have the key stuff. You the ball in the back hand. But anything puts break this fast. You can. So
is it are we trying to avoid injuries or trying to get batters a better chance? Are we trying to avoid hitting batters?
Yeah, well, yeah, but that's right, but that correct. What about batters? Because more getting are now than ever.
No, they said
Peter Lowood said that. He goes, I want them to hit because I don't want to get hit all the time. And I played this yesterday since I got it. Listen again. Garrett Cole just took a grip and he was a baby.
It's hard to
It sounds like a teacher.
Part of the reason I almost player on the front something to help them control. I think I agree with I encourage pitchers out to continue to progress because once they throw the ball, they don't. And the expert situation and we're aligned in terms of with pitcher's office as well.
Right. They could be communicating direct to pitch. And I would even say, remind everybody, Liam Hendricks, if there's something else. Let free everybody.
There's no call something up. Right, let's get the rest of our rock poll.
We just need to whatever it is. I'm really sure what it is. I guess it's finally a rock pick that listen to and try to pass on to our kids. And we'd have a little fun with which following band's best finds rock. Choices two, Rolling Stone.
Correctly, the Rolling Stones 5%. Any
thoughts on that?
You actually left. Tom Heartbreaks at 3%.
Third. Pearl Jam for the last. The Rolling Stones doesn't surprise me. They had rock grandpa.
Learn vocals, grandpa.
Yes.
Very.
Those kids might just like to call it just rock.
Yeah.
It's just rock.
Just rock.
Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm petrified.
Yeah. Hopefully, it's fine. Do it if you're going to out the food now.
Yeah.
Because chances could be really
good. Cool the house. Here.
Cool the house. Grill inside.
Good point.
Do not grill inside. Okay. Help gets much Georgia. Make it in. Don't say I'll be taking it on Thursday.
Thursday afternoon.
So if you're in a round clock, you're looking to do sports and 30 tonight, I will join Caitlin Sharp for about 20 minutes, 25 minutes in baseball. Hopefully, get a chance to have a couple of victories.
Go Sox.
White Sox Ball Game Show, okay? ESPN 1000.